السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
Welcome back to another episode. Sarah's back.
I'm back, guys. Back with a vengeance.
Back and better than ever. Okay. We didn't see each other. No, well, we saw each other when I came back from my safra. But I was gone for a month, so I gave you guys two episodes, wham bam, with Baba. Mm. And now Sarah's here.
Here I am.
Here I am.
This is me. Okay, we need to stop. We need to stop relating every song to every experience.
Why?
Because literally anytime we're doing something, we're just like sing it.
Well, that's the point of music.
Apparently that's a sign of great intellect.
Allah.
Mm.
As if we needed more signs.
Yes.
So, so, okay, basically we were sitting with Natalie yesterday getting work done. So Natalie works for me at my agency. And we were just discussing like what we should discuss today. And Nat came up with some pretty good concepts that we could just delve into. And I think I texted you, I said shame, self-worth. What was the third one?
Tawakkul.
Tawakkul. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to work real bad. It's good.
That was really good. I'm a little, it's titillating.
It was. Mm. Okay, so. First topic, I'm just going to dive right in. I'm just going to ask you some stuff so that we can like get right into it.
Okay, sure.
Okay, for shame. When Natalie suggested shame, the first thing that I thought of was like, we don't really experience shame in the way that we used to. So yeah. I'm going to throw you in and just be like, why do you think women are interested in the subject of shame and trying to unpack the idea of shame? Why is it a thing?
Why is it a thing? Because I think it starts first and foremost in the home. If you just even look at yourself without getting into too much personal detail, but my parents didn't navigate feelings of shame or lesser than feelings in a healthy way. There was no healthy outlet. And then I look at my grandparents. So my mom, for example, as a kid, didn't have the right, what's the word I'm looking for? Idol.
Role model.
Yeah, she didn't witness it in a healthy way at all. And, you know, we're a product of our environments. So I think with women especially at home. So I was talking to, who was I talking to about this yesterday? Who was I talking to? You! When I was telling you, a lot of women will get into the worst kinds of relationships, or maybe not even the worst kind, but just a monotonous, basic, we respect each other, they don't really love each other relationship. You see it a lot in the Arab world. You'll ask people about their parents and they'll be like, no, I don't think they're in love, but they respect each other. You know what I mean? And if you ask the mom or the wife about it, she'll be like, yeah, he's not the best husband, but he's a great dad. And I told you, I'm like, that's so selfish and ignorant and small-minded if you think that your kids don't see that, yeah, dad's not a great husband. He's a great dad, but he's not a great husband, as if that wouldn't affect them, as if that's not for a woman. When she's older, she'll be like, it's okay, he's a good dad. He does the basics, like he gets the groceries, he pays the bills, but he doesn't do anything for me. Like, do you know what I mean? So I think shame starts first and foremost in your childhood. Also, I saw Gabor Mate. Love that man. Mm. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
He was talking to, I think it was Mel Robbins, mm-hmm. right? Is that her name? Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting, this video, where she was talking about, I believe she was not giving a hypothetical, she was giving a real example of that she was abused as a child. I think it was either by a cousin or a summer camp 16-year-old, something along those lines, where she was very young and the dude was a teenager. And he started questioning her about the process of informing her parents and whatever. And he said, that's the trauma, that you didn't feel safe enough to go tell your parents. That's where the trauma started. Because, yeah, you can go through bad things, but if you have the support system to go and vent to and confide in and they can walk you through it, that sense of shame isn't there because you know you didn't do anything wrong. Wrong was done upon you. Mm-hmm. So the shame isn't there. Mm-hmm. With victims, for example, of sexual abuse, the shame starts with, I didn't have anyone to confide in, because immediately it would be a me problem. I did something. I called it upon me. Mm-hmm. So I think shame starts in the house.
Yeah, Fabi.
What do you think?
Look, shame is a really difficult subject because I think about it in terms of like, I don't know, I think this is like a psychological term. I may be wrong, but the idea of like primary and secondary emotions. Primary emotions are like sadness, happiness, anger, whatever. Secondary emotions are guilt, shame, envy, compassion, jealousy, those kinds of stuff. And I feel like with women, especially growing up in households where there's this kind of like ancestral dissemination of trauma and shame, they make women of the household wear that responsibility and wear that shame. So women are kind of conditioned to, like women are conditioned to believe that they have to kind of own their secondary emotions and that men can get away with primary emotions scot-free. They don't have to dive into the secondary emotions. So for me, it's kind of like, when I think of shame, I don't feel shame from, let's say, like male counterparts. It's usually from female counterparts that the shame is usually worn. Like, I don't think that the like perpetuated act of understanding shame as a woman or as a girl growing up was ever given to me like through men. So I don't know. I find shame a very difficult topic.
Are you talking about outwardly feeling like men don't wear it outwardly, but women do?
No, I think that women have to internalize shame a lot more than men do.
I disagree.
But no, I think women have to internalize shame, but they are made to hold it in a way where it has to be pleasing and palpable for other people. Whilst men, they don't really give excuses for men. So like they'll deal with shame in their own way, but it's like, however which way he wants to express it, it's up to him. It's either through rage, through anger. And they're like, yeah, it's just boys being boys. It's just a man being a man. But whilst a woman, like they don't really get to release or let go of the shame in a way that makes sense for them. Like they have to do it and package it up in like a cookie cutter image. Do you know what I mean?
Can you give me an example? Just so it makes more sense.
Okay, so like growing up, a lot of women feel shame around their periods, for example.
Okay.
They have to kind of hide their pads or their sanitary pads, and they can't really talk about it in public spaces. And especially in like in Gulf households, not so much in Levant, but in Gulf households, like they kind of have to move in different spaces and they have to make sure that they're not associated or affiliated with like a larger group of people. And that happens, like, for example, in Ramadan, like you have to give excuses and kind of show people that, like, you know, you are fasting. It's not that you're not fasting. It's like, well, yeah, you got your period. Like, so it is what it is. And I think that women have to kind of hold it. Like they have to keep it a secret and they have to let it sit within them. They can't express it outwardly because it makes other people feel uncomfortable. Does that make sense? Whilst like a man, for example, if he's mad about something because he wasn't able to process his shame, it's like, oh, let him vent. Let him do what he needs to do. If he has to walk out and like not talk to anyone, fair dues. If he has to break something, so be it. Adi, khali, you know? Whilst with a woman, like she wouldn't be able to do that. She wouldn't.
Relax, I don't see it that way. Maybe because I grew up in the Levant, so you did make the
distinction.
Yeah, the distinction of like in the Gulf and Levant houses. And to be fair, when I was younger and I first got my period, obviously it was like it's a very crazy thing to go through. I'm very, very lucky that my parents handled it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And they refused like for me to carry any shame or embarrassment about it. It's like, if you're on your period, you're on your period.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to rest and you have stomach pains, you do. If you can't go swim, you can't. If you can't fast, you can't. And it's not like, oh, don't eat in public or don't. No, it's like, go be a princess on your period. You know what I mean? So I was very lucky with that. But in general, I carried the shame initially, I think just because I was young and stupid. Now I'm like, I don't care. I don't think you have to be so outwardly like paint with your period blood, like that little trend we saw 10 years ago, which was on YouTube. Don't get me started, these hippies.
Sorry, did I miss that?
And this video going viral now on Instagram of like this woman free bleeding in the grass and like these people are mocking
her. That's just a bit ridiculous.
Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's also like disgusting. But what I'm saying is anything that has to do with just basic human nature, like my dad's very, very good when it comes to this. If when he knows it's that time of the month, he's like, order some chocolate, sit at home, don't go to the gym, watch a movie, cuddle your cat. I'll be like, no, I need to do this, this and that. He'd be like, no, like this is a time for you to just be divine and just sit and connect and be at peace. And I'm the one who fights against it. And he's the one who's like, bask in the glory of your femininity, which is I am one of the lucky few who has like a dad like that, but I disagree that men don't get to, relax, at least in the Levant, men don't get to experience shame. It's like, inta zalemin, what do you mean you're ashamed? What do you mean you're humiliated?
Yeah,
what do you mean
you're embarrassed? In classic cases, yes, I know what you mean. But I think that generally speaking, they hold space in the conventional sense for men to be to get away with it more than women. That's what I feel.
I get what you mean. I think the tides have shifted, though, because nowadays, just from what I've seen, I see men are a lot more understanding of things like a girl's period or her hormones or her luteal phase and her whatever. I see so many videos online of like, I think there's this dude called Hormones with Harry is what okay. he does. And it goes like, Hormones with Harry. He has a girlfriend who's his fiance now that they've been together for 8 or 9 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. And she has psoriasis. And he didn't understand when they first started dating all of this. And then he put so much effort into researching the luteal phase, the I don't know what, her hormone cycle, psoriasis, the food and like iron heavy foods like a week before her period. And he like documents it vlog style. And it's adorable.
It is very sweet.
But it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah. Mm. So I think he helped her like not feel shame, which is lovely. She used to have, I think there's a vlog where she used to, he could never like wash her hair for her or something. And then now it's like one of their bonding moments where he washes her head for her because she has psoriasis.
That's really sweet.
It's too cute.
It's hard. I feel like it's, I feel like if you had asked me the question about shame, maybe like 20 years ago or 10 years ago, I would be a little bit more like,
Shamed.
Not really more shamed. I would have a lot more to say, but now it's like I refuse to be the subject of like this victim mentality. We're like, sit in your shame,
discuss how we used to feel it and in what ways we felt it and how we got rid of it. Because mm-hmm. I think, because we could give examples of like period or this or that, but everyone has their own unique story of where, because I know till today, there are a few, it happened today, I thought of like something from like 25 years ago and I was like, no.
Like what?
No, I can't. No way I say this on camera.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Can you like dress it up in a different way?
No way I say this on. There is no way I say this on camera. But I can dress it up in a different way that has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
But yeah, so let's discuss that. Like as a young prepubescent adult and as an adolescent mm-hmm. and a teen, mm-hmm. what were the examples of shame that you felt and how did you navigate it?
You go first. You go first.
Me? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can discuss my tattoos. I was just telling you.
Sure.
So I don't know. I think you guys saw it in my previous episode because I was wearing the yellow and my hand. So anyway, I have these two dumbass tattoos. To be fair, I have a lot more. And I got my first tattoo when I was 14 because I was a rebel without a cause.
Yeah. Like, or too many causes.
Or too many. With, without, and everything in between. I had a problem with authority. I was very an anxious teen, too smart for my own good. And I thought tattoos were like the coolest thing in the world. I thought, let's get up on this rodeo. Yalla, you know? At 14, went and got a tattoo. 16, got another one. I think the last ones I got, I was 21. And then something in my brain shifted and I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done to myself. And at the age of 22, 23, started getting some of them removed, especially the ones that are so clearly visible on my arms. If anything is hidden, I don't care. Khalas, that's between me and myself. But what's so visible, because also, unfortunately, it does give a wrong impression, especially in the Arab world, blah, 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 right? So I started getting them removed, but I haven't had a session in like 5 years because I kept saying, oh, I'm going to continue, but just got busy with also working out and stuff. So I got a session when I was in Jordan again and I'm committed to getting them removed. But also they usually put numbing cream and I'm like, no, I will feel the pain of hellfire so that I don't feel it in the akhirah. I'm one of those girls. I'm like, I'm going to die on the cross for my own sins. I was like, let me feel the pain now so I don't suffer for it later. But till today, I do feel shame about it. I wear most of the time long sleeve t-shirts or a jacket or a cardigan, or a lot of my closest friends are shocked that I have tattoos, even though sometimes I will wear a sleeveless top, but I just hide it. I think it gives the worst impression of me. I think who I was when I was 21 is not who I am now, but I still carry the guilt of that. And I'm like so ashamed that I thought tattoos were cool. Guys, listen to your parents. Tattoos suck.
Oh man, I mean, like, look, at least you're getting them removed right now.
Like, I know, so. But it's a process. Like,
It's a mission. It's a mish.
Yeah. And it's expensive and it's painful and it's just, it's a lot to deal with.
But like, but look, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you that you're like kind of going through this phase of really reinventing yourself in the best way possible. Like when you said like, oh, who I was at 21 is not who I am. I'm like, thank God. Because if you were the same person, we would have a problem.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I think most people, the ones that I can't seem to get along with or want nothing to do with, especially childhood friends or whatever, if I see that from 20 to 30 you move the same, you sound the same, you act the same, you react the same, and you attract the same, because that means you have not understood anything in the past decade, haven't learned anything new, haven't gotten out of your comfort zone enough to improve and elevate. I don't even want to say change, I just want to say elevate, grow, deepen, enlighten. None of that has transpired, and I have no interest in that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I will also say about the shame, the one thing where, because obviously depending on where I'm at in life or my mood for the day, a lot of the days where I'm like, screw it, I have the tattoos, I'm getting them removed. If someone wants to judge me for that, they can go to hell, you know what I mean, and stick it where the sun don't shine. And if someone wants to judge me on that, then khalas, so be it. And whoever cares enough will come and speak to you and not care. Obviously, when it comes to like a relationship, I'm like, how am I going to explain that this isn't, I'm getting it removed. But then also I'm like, I don't need to explain it. So there's, that's where the shame comes in. But then I think the thing that gets me through this, and I've said this before to my audience, is the reason why I refuse to feel shame and guilt for things that I did when I was 14, 16, and 21 is because I'm no longer that person, which means they're two very different people. Layla at 21 and Layla at 30 are really not the same people, which means the feelings that Layla harbored at 21 of anxiety and panic attacks and fear and shame, they don't belong to me. I don't have the right to feel them now as a woman who doesn't move the same or think the same or attract the same. I owe it to who I am now to think differently and react differently and attract differently. Do you see what I mean?
I see what you mean, but I think as an audience member, I would ask you, it's like, oh, well, then how did you get from that place to that place? How did you elevate?
That's what I'm saying. Before letting go, well, God. I will say, so there are things where it's like, okay, so you know how we talk to girls sometimes who ask us on relationship advice? I don't know why, but they come to us. But when a, you talked about situationships, right? When a girl is begging a man for more than the breadcrumbs that he's giving her, you know, and she hasn't changed anything, she still remains, he still has access to her, and he's still breadcrumbing her, and she's still begging him, which is reinforcing his, oh, she's never gonna go. Like, especially when you ended up being with that kind of horrible man, right? How dare you beg a man to give you something you're not giving yourself, which is respect. You know what I mean? You have to respect yourself first and love yourself first before you can ask anyone else to give that to you. That's my biggest thing. So I had to recognize that there are things that I had to do myself for myself first before asking someone else to do it. You know what I mean? So it was a very solo journey. And then I also with God was like, okay, I'm going to keep begging God. It's the Evan Almighty thing. Was it that movie where Morgan Freeman is like, do you think when you pray for patience, God just magically sprinkle patience on you or gives you the opportunity to be patient? So when I ask God, like, I don't want to feel this shame and I don't want to feel this heaviness, is God just going to magically make me wake up one day and not feel it? Or is he going to give me the opportunity to wake up every day and force myself to not feel it? Mm-hmm. That's how I went about it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, God put you on this earth. It's disrespectful to harbor all these negative feelings and play such a big victim. I'm like, also it's a first world problem. Like, just get it together. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's Einstein's definition of insanity. I've been moving this way for 21 years. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
What about you?
It's a tough one. Look, I think you and I are very lucky in the sense that we don't mind tough love and we don't mind people putting us in our place and calling us out if something doesn't, you know, make sense or, you know, hold our feet to the fire. But what I have found, especially with like short reels that we do or videos that we upload, I find a lot of the women in the comment sections constantly playing the victim card anytime you say something that isn't presented in a way that they can digest. Mm. So if I say something that sounds harsh or direct or confrontational, that's because it is. I am confronting you with this harsh reality. And if I'm not the one to slap you in the face to give you a reality check, then no one else will. And I watched something recently, even which bothered me so much. It was like a clip of, like, you know how much I love reality TV and when it's like in a social experiment format. Mm-hmm. There was like a girl who was being really direct with another girl, and she was calling it like it is. She's like, I said what I meant and I meant what I said. And everyone was gunning for this girl, being like, you're so harsh. Like, you were really mean to her. Like, I thought she was your friend, and made her feel like absolute garbage because she was being so direct and actually doing the one thing that none of these people have the spine to do, mm-hmm. which is call someone out for horrendous behavior. And I find that, like, even in videos where we talk about, when you were mentioning the idea of shame or the idea of, like, situationships or, like, how women have to be responsible for their own actions, et cetera, et cetera, the women will come to you in the comment section being like, it's the patriarchy. We are the way we are because the system is designed that way. It's like, how long are you going to be humming the same tune and, like, parroting the same narrative where the responsibility for your actions is always external? It's never internal. Like, you never lay claim to that responsibility. And that's something that drives me up the wall, because I'm sick and tired of women not being accountable for their individual, like, actions and therefore consequences to those actions.
Yeah. No, I feel you. But I think also, I've said this a million times, but I'll say it again. What's the alternative? Like, if you don't, like you said, lay claim to what's transpired in your life and take responsibility for, oh, I attracted this. And also, there's this quote that I saw. I don't know if you saw it, but it's like, you didn't attract narcissists. You attracted all different walks of life. You allowed the narcissists to remain. Because when you think about the past 35 years of your life, I've attracted every shape, size, color, height, personality, men, women, old, young, alike. I've met so many different people from so many different walks of life. Mm-hmm. But it's the ones that I gave way too much access, more than they deserved or earned. It's the ones that were horrible, but I allowed to remain because of my insecurities and my wounds and the lessons that my soul needed to learn. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that had the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you keep attracting narcissists. You've attracted so many different people, but you've allowed the narcissists to remain. Yeah. You've given them way more room than they were ever needed to have, mm-hmm. and you continue to let it happen. Mm-hmm. That therein lies the issue. It's okay for it to happen once, ya sheikha, twice, you know, but learn. Fall, but learn.
Yeah,
that's my biggest thing. It's like, it's okay if you mess up, just for the love of all that is good, mm-hmm. learn. Mm-hmm. But after 35 years you're still doing it, there's the consistency is you. Mm. You are the problem, it's not everyone else. So again, then they'll tell you the patriarchy. Well, baby boo. Okay, in this patriarchy you claim to be
a victim too.
Yeah. Why are there's again so many different types of women? There are women that are so happily married and don't work, and there are women that are so happily married and do work, and there are women that are so happily married and own their own businesses. They all live in the same world you claim is we're all inflicted by. So mm-hmm. what's the difference? Now she'll be like, oh, because she found a man that lets her be a woman. Then go find a man that lets you be a woman. But good luck finding a man who's going to let you be a woman when you treat him with such disdain. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense, you know? But anyway, for the feeling of shame, but to me, that's a feeling of shame. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. It's the inability to take accountability for anything that transpires in your life is a lot of shame. It's shame that you are wrong, mm-hmm. and you make it bigger than life and like it's the end of the world because you were wrong, when it's really not, because it's the only way to improve. You have to be wrong to get better in this life. And it's amazing that that's the thing that people run away from the most. They mm-hmm. just, they want to shed this accountability, like to give it to the patriarchy, give it to the feminists, give it to whomever, just don't give it to me. And then the result is that you're stuck and you've imprisoned yourself, mm-hmm. and you will never grow from it, mm-hmm. which is fine, you know, do you, boo. But the inability to take accountability, it's a death sentence. Mm. Because what's the alternative? You've given everyone else control over your life. So by that logic of the patriarchy and societal norms is the reason women are so doomed to like be miserable forever, right? So what's the result of that? You've given the men that you claim are so horrible and the reason for patriarchy the power over you. So unless the men change and the patriarchy changes, we are doomed for life. Mm-hmm. But then they'll tell you, no, it's the feminists' great work. That's not true. You're not giving the feminists the power. You're giving the men who are in control of the patriarchy the power because you're not taking any accountability because even the feminists are screaming, it's the patriarchy and it's the men. So by how that logic doesn't make sense to me, but obviously you can't penetrate a feminist's logic because that logic is flawless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Flawless. Their logic is perfect.
It is.
No loopholes.
No loopholes.
So khalas, we're going to, it's not our fault. It's their fault. Mm-hmm. And we're fighting them. But when it's their fault, that means all the power is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide to change, then it's good.
Yeah.
If they decide to be good to you, then it's good. And if they don't, then it's not.
But also it's a cyclical logic because you have to live so much in Delulu land to think that everyone is going to reorient their entire life just to cater to your needs. Like to think, to be so self-centered and so self-indulgent that everybody has to change their perspective so that you're comfortable, that everyone has to change society so that you feel better. Like it makes zero sense to me. And sometimes when I sit with these women and we try to have a conversation, nothing is getting through to them because they're like, but I am the victim of circumstance, but I am the one that like, oh, the world owes me something. The world owes me some kind of explanation for why I am the way that I am. And it's like, so you look at everybody else, you look at all these external factors. You never once thought, who's the common denominator? Me.
But is that not the epitome of shame? Because then if she had to sit down and take a hard, good look in the mirror, the common denominator is her.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not the epitome of a deep sense of shame?
Yeah, but then you cover that shame with a victim.
Yes.
Like victim narrative.
But that's shame. And if you don't get rid of that shame, it's you really ruin your whole life. But shame takes place in so many different ways. And it shows up in your life in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, like I said, that's the epitome of shame. A lot of people might be like, oh, I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because I didn't think of that 5 years ago.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? But it's you only get rid of shame by taking accountability.
Yeah.
Because what's the worst that could happen? Yeah, I screwed up. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I thought that. Yeah, I supported the ideology that ended up blowing up in my face.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Just you literally have to take 10 seconds of going like, yeah, that was me.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. You can literally take it, throw it away, never have to say it again because you said it, you know it.
Mm.
And it's only uphill from there. Shame, you do not get rid of shame without addressing it and recognizing where it is you were at fault. It's the only way you get rid of shame because the alternative is that you blame someone else and then you think you addressed it and it's like, oh, I was feeling shame because 1, 2, 3 did so and so to me. You know what I mean? And then it's you grow up to be the 30-year-old who still harbors the feeling of the 21-year-old. It's because I was abused or because I was taken advantage of or because I was disrespected or but I accepted it. I accepted that I was a victim of this. But this is why I am the way I am today.
Mm.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Who was it that said, like, we really need to bring shame back? Like, who was
and
it?
And bullying. Everyone online says it. Yeah, bullying and shame.
I was like, bring it back. Because, look,
because the woman free bleeding, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, people will comment like, bring back shame.
Mm.
Like, and you know how you were saying now, it's a cyclical thing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and it's so egotistical and self-centered to want to have the world change for you. It's not just that. Once you feed into it, what's to stop it? Because it's an avalanche. Hence it started with certain rights. Now it's pronouns. Now it's I don't know what. Now we've gone into children's. You can't stop them.
But then isn't that so interesting?
I interrupted you. No,
totally fine. But isn't it interesting with that woman? I can't remember her name, but she was like showing that man off after she was cheated on publicly. And she was doing that performance. Like that video that you sent me.
Me?
Yeah, it was a woman who was like, thank God. Like she was thanking God and like showing a video of this guy that she's now
Oh, Catherine Piaz from the Ace family. And it's just, it was very performative. I agree.
Have you learned nothing?
She's literally walking like this and it's like the love you prayed for. And it's like her and then him in the background and then like little videos of him. Listen, He could really love her and they could be really in love. But after, like, you have three kids and you did the whole Ace Family thing and we saw the rise and downfall of that. By the way, some of us caught that downfall really early on. I used to watch that going like, I don't trust that man as far as I could throw him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, like, again? Nobody and by the way, God forbid something goes wrong again. It's like, it's the same Call Her Daddy interview. I knew it from when I saw him, like he was the one, but then he cheated, or but then it's the same thing again and again and again. It never ends.
It's
and
too
again,
much.
Common denominator, you.
Yes.
But yeah, you were saying about this video.
No, like it just really irked me because I'm like, have we learned nothing? Have we learned nothing that you parading your life in a way by like glorifying and sensationalizing these very private and intimate moments for the world to see? Are you that insecure that you constantly need public validation? Like all the world's a stage for you? Like to me, it was just such bizarre behavior. This person cheated on you publicly. You spoke about this public cheating and then you decide to hop on a trend and show how you found this new person again. Who are you talking to? Who's your, it's like the Truman Show. Who are we talking to?
But did you read the comments? Because, so I have a friend that says that to gauge where society's at, like go through the comments, right? Now, mind you, different geographical location, but a lot of the comments were, I'm so happy she's finally happy. It's the same with the Wizard Liz comments where these women egg on your shame and your misery and your delulu and your lack of accountability and you're basically sweeping under the rug this really traumatic experiences that transpired and took place into your life and should have fundamentally changed you as a human, mm-hmm. not in the sense that it traumatized you that you're a traumatic person, but in the sense that you at least had to have a come to Jesus moment and sit down and maybe recuperate and recalibrate. What is it that got you to where you are today? Why is it that you attracted this type of man? Why is it that you allowed it to take place? Why did you trust someone that so clearly could not be trusted? Mm-hmm. You would think that that's what would transpire. No, but like you said, it's this phenomenon of sharing such intimate details of your life and you have this society of online people that you actually do not know. You don't know anything about their lives. You don't know if they're good people. You don't know if they're bad. You don't know if they rape, steal, cheat, lie, deceive. You don't know anything, mm-hmm. you know? And they're the ones telling you, brava.
Yeah. And it's like you are glorifying parasocial relationships which are not real. They are not real relationships. And so it just, I find it such a bizarre, like, it's just too bizarre for me. And like, I hate the fact that when I'm scrolling on my phone and I see like, you know, children dying, and then I see these types of videos, I think to myself, like, why are we living in such a dystopian society where like my like nervous system is being like, you know, recalibrated and then shocked and then recalibrated over and over again. Like, yeah. I just can't do it. And it's like, I don't know. I just, people need to stop talking, period. Like, full stop. Like, people just need to stop talking about things that they think people care about fundamentally. If it doesn't aid and endorse your emotional, physical, and mental well-being, that is actually helping the world. Like, anything else needs to be put to bed.
So I fully agree with you. I do. But then people will say, oh, but her video, for example, like the girly pops in the comments will be like, no, but we saw her get married and have three kids and be cheated on so publicly and still be able to find love. It gives us hope.
But look at Wizard Liz. Like, didn't she do it like a video? Like, funnily enough,
The YouTube video title that got cheated on?
Wait. Oh. I did not know Wizard Liz from Adam. Like, I had no idea who this person was until you introduced me to this person. And I was like,
did I introduce you to this person?
I had no idea who she was. I had no idea who she was. And I was like, why am I now knowing every like crevasse of her entire existence? I know every office that I know too much.
Yeah.
I know too much.
Yeah.
And then when I watched this like video, because I found myself stumbling upon the algorithm that she's like talking about, like, yeah, so I got cheated on and I was doing this. I was like, babe, this woman is dissociates like nobody's business, has zero accountability for her actions, obsessed with validation, has learned nothing. She has not grown and she has not learned anything. And yet the comments are like, babe, we're here for you. Babe, we love you. Like, girl power. And it's like, you are embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing her and you're keeping her small. Like, you don't want her to grow. You want her to stay small. You want to stay her weak-minded and feeble because it makes you feel better about yourself.
Facts.
And you know what? She laps that up like nobody's business. And it's such a shame. Because what she should have done is deactivate her Instagram account. If it really was something that was as traumatic as she claims it was, go to like a facility, surround yourself with people who are like-minded individuals that are actually going to call you out on your BS, mm-hmm. and go inwards and don't touch social media for like a year and figure your stuff out and grow.
Especially because you're pregnant.
You are pregnant.
So I was telling my dad in the previous episode, and I talked about this with you and Nat yesterday, where I was saying, I know there's this trend of, when you're picking your partner, make sure that you're also picking a good father for your children and the person who's going to help you bury your parents and all of that good stuff. But I see so many women just pick a partner because he makes them feel good. Pick a partner because he doted on them. Pick a partner because he fits the right boxes at the time where those were your boxes in this moment in time, you know? But then, did you actually look for the signs? Did you actually see how he reacts to difficulty? Because how a man reacts to difficulty is the most important metric. You're going to go through difficulty. You're going to go through it. In this dunya, it is written for all of us. You will never live and die unless you literally live and die the day of your life, you know, the day you're given birth, and not be faced with some sort of test or some sort of trauma or be inflicted with some sort of pain. And how a man deals with that is what should attract you the most, because that's how he's going to raise your children. And then these women, like Wizard Liz, unfortunately end up marrying these dweebs. And we all knew he was a dweeb, ya mama. Every one of us.
Yeah.
Except for you.
Except for and me. Then I had no idea who he was.
Then you get pregnant and you give, and you're going to bring a girl into this world that, like, yeah, he's going to be a great dad, but not a great husband because he cheated on you when you were still pregnant. You think your daughter doesn't see that? Mm-hmm. You think your daughter isn't going to carry that shame and that pain and think in the deep crevice subconscious of her mind? Mm-hmm. Men still cheat. My mom's hot as hell. My mom's famous. My mom is an inspiration to women. And dad still cheated on her. Mm-hmm. So what man's going to come love me? Mm-hmm. You think women, you think your child isn't going to think that way? She will.
Yeah.
But you gave her that dad. That's you. I don't care if he cheated. Yeah, okay, he did so much wrong. And then we all hate him and screw him till the end of times, okay? But who picked that dad for her child? Yeah. Anna? You. So do we not have any accountability whatsoever?
No.
That you picked a really horrible man to be your husband and the father of your child?
Mm-hmm. But I think that that's why when we talk about dating or being in relationships, people don't date for what's right for them. They date with their complexes. And often at times they highlight things that are really not important in the grand scheme of things. Is this person going to fight for you? Is this person going to advocate for you? Is this person going to be on your team? Is this person going to help strengthen where you fall short? Is this person going to make you feel safe and secure? And is this person going to have compassion and empathy and all of those things? And it's like, that's the criteria you say you want. And then you go for the guy that's super hot, that's super vain, that's super selfish. And then you ask yourself, like, why did I do this and not have that? And it's like, because you are not dating with the element of logic and rationale at the centerfold of what you think is right for you. You're letting everything else fall by the wayside and you're focusing on the things that actually in the grand scheme of things don't matter, like height. Women have such issues with height. They have issues with, like, okay, if he doesn't have washboard abs, and then this is like a problem for me. It's like, oh, so like if there was a war and people were dying, you were like, at least above everything, he has washboard abs. It's like, did that help you? It really didn't. And I just can't help but think to myself that maybe in some small kind of back of my mind, like, I get really scared when I see people getting married young because they don't know themselves, let alone the person that they're marrying. And I think it could go both ways. Mm. What do you think?
I'll tell you about the married young because I have a very different opinion on this, with exception, like okay. In certain specific circumstances, but we'll talk about it. But for what you were saying about the washboard abs and the, I agree. My dad has a thing about this where he mentioned it in the previous episode where he was like, but you want the guy who's so suave and smooth with it and has the line like ready and he probably regurgitates it to all the other Sallys and Harrys in the background. Do you know what I mean? Harrys. Well, yeah, they're secretly bi. I'm just, all these men are secretly gay. But to all the like Sallys and Tinas and Christinas in the background, do you know what I mean? Sally's going to think I'm calling her out. I'm not, but she gave me a missed call, so she came to mind. But yeah, so my dad was talking about that. And he's like, but then the guy who stuttered or didn't really have it, you don't give him a chance. And I was like, Dad, yeah, those men don't approach us. It's not the 80s anymore. So I was like, relax. But I will say, the thing about the criteria that women search for in a man, like the height and the washboard abs and the six figures a year and all of that good stuff, right? It means nothing if it doesn't benefit you. So the thing is, and it's not about being superficial and going like, oh, I just want a man with money to take care of me. Because you can have a man who works a 9-to-5 and makes just a decent salary, but he, with that decent salary, takes care of you and himself and wants to just be better with the limited that he has. And you could date that CEO who has millions, just doesn't spend it on you, doesn't use it to benefit you. So the thing about what women look for, or because I've heard girls go like, oh, I'm dating this guy, he's rich, he owns his own company. Yeah, but how is that in service of you? He's rich. He has money. He has a safety net. He's good, baby boo. How does that benefit you? I would rather have a simple man, but who with his simplicity really, shayfni bas wad-dinya, I am worth my weight in gold to him. And he takes care of me and puts in effort and does all of that with the little that he has for now. Because later he might not have little. He'll have a lot. Do you know what I mean? Rather than the man who has a lot and knows he has a lot and knows that's why it's hook, line, and sinker for women. How does that benefit you? What does that do for you? Nothing.
Mm. It's so funny because you and I talk about this all the time and people don't take us seriously when we say this, but it's like, genuinely speaking, the only form of freedom is financial freedom. True. And I think that when women get into this like mindset where they're like, oh, I really want to find a guy who's got like a six figure or seven figure salary and he's doing this and he's doing that. That's amazing if he's sharing it with you. But if you are a person that is financially dependent and reliant on this man, you will never have agency and autonomy over the way that your life is going to go. And the amount of women that I know who have mums who never worked and then, you know, divorce came around and they got nothing in the end and they were left with no experience for a job and they're trying to find a job at the age of 45, 50, or the fact that they literally have to ask their husband to pay for something like they're asking a father, and it just feels really awkward. It's like no one's telling you that you should work, but someone is telling you you have to be ready for any possibility, even if the person is like the best person in the world and you love them dearly and they will do anything for you, you always have to protect yourself.
Absolutely.
Because the women that I know that are suffering like nobody's business because they decided to put their finances aside and not really care about it and leave it all into the hands of the husband are suffering beyond belief and beyond repair. And so take a note, ladies, financial freedom is the only freedom. It really is.
I agree. I fully agree. I mean, obviously I agree.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because, we agree because we are financially independent, of course. Yeah.
And I fully agree because I know what it was like when I didn't have power, control, and autonomy over my money, how I make it, how I spend it, where it goes, where it comes from. It's slavery. It's modern day slavery, you know? And alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, like having it, it also helped my confidence. It was, but I also think everyone has their own particular journey to go through at a particular place in time. Mine was now, you know? But ala the getting married young.
Yes.
So I said something with my dad before, but then I saw a video about it yesterday. So I'm like, maybe it comes to the surface and people like try to twist it for it to mean something else. So we know throughout history, women used to get married young. Like when she got her period or when she was 13 or when, and now they tell you, ew, disgusting. And I'm like, I get it. Times have changed and our brains aren't able to wrap it. You know what I mean? We can't wrap our brains around it. Sorry. And I said in my video, I was like because America decided 18 is legal adult, then we can shit on an entire history of Islam and whatever, which I don't particularly appreciate. Do you know what I mean? I think if back then they got married at 16 and 17 and 18, fine. As long as it wasn't forced, as long as it was willing. I just think like now, مثلا, in America, if you're 18 minus 3 days, like you'll be charged as a minor. Because I'm sorry, in 3 days I'm suddenly going to be so wa'ye and so amazing and so self-actualized that I can make anything happen. That's so stupid. So in America, like when people get married at 18 or 19 or even in our society, as long as it's not forced, as long as the parents did the job of teaching the kids right, and that's where I think it's lacking. I think the parents didn't give the children all the right tools to be great, great young adults. Because in our day and age where it's like high school and then go to college to play beer pong and sexually experiment. No, you're not ready to be married. You're an idiot. You don't know you don't know anything, you know? But I think this is why I love homeschooling and I love certain things. I think if you raise your child right, by 18 they could rule a country. It depends on how you raise them, what you distract them with, what you feed their mind with. Babe, from the ages of 14 to 18, what they taught us in school was so stupid. It was retarded. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't ready to do anything at 18. But there are some kids out there, yeah, that are smarter than you and me today at the age of 18. I'll say it. Absolutely. And if they want to get married, they have every right.
Yeah.
Every right. Because I think they'd make a sound decision and not a wizardless decision. But that's just me. So I'll say it. Because, but I will say I saw a video today where this man... I get what he was saying. Maybe the delivery was wrong. And also people get really sensitive around like minors having sex. So I get it. He was just saying hundreds of years ago, if a 15-year-old married a 40-year-old, there was no trauma around it and it was normal and it was accepted by society. But today, a 15-year-old to marry a 40-year-old, it's traumatic. And he's like, what changed? And people in the comments were like, check his browser history. I get it. It's weird. It's like, what are you saying? But it was also a little clip. I'm sure there's a lot of nuance to the conversation. But what I'm saying is, I don't want to give the example of 15 and 40 because I will always find that a little bit bizarre. But what I'm saying, like today, if she's 18 and he's 25, but they grew up in the same community, in the same society, they have the same values. She was really taught right from wrong. You know what I mean? And has a good head on her shoulders. And all of the things that like I'm talking about, I don't find it very weird. I don't, because our parents were like that. And I know parents today who are so in love with great, healthy kids.
How many years between your dad and your mom?
7. So it would be like the 18 and 25. But my mom was 24 and my mom was 23 and my dad was 30. There we go.
23 and 30. Okay.
But nowadays they'll tell you, what could a 30-year-old have to say to a 23-year-old? Mm. If she's a very well-educated, well-spoken, well-traveled 23-year-old, a lot. Mm. But the thing is, you guys are thinking of 23-year-olds who played beer pong the past 4 years in college.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can understand that they would have nothing to talk about. And again, I'm not saying it has to be the norm. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is you can't just like make men to be these predators when sometimes they're not. And sometimes they very much are. Mm-hmm. And I think you take away from the horribleness of when they are a predator when you just label all of them predators.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Anyway, sorry, we got off topic, but
no,
but I mean, that's an important point for me to clarify. Because I think if you're 18 minus 3 days, it's not you've suddenly changed to 18. Because in Islam it's not how it is, and I don't like that. And I won't abide by the whole, hey, 18, your frontal lobe isn't, I don't care, because what are you teaching them? Mm-hmm. Number one, you're over-vaccinating them, over-medicating them, over-indoctrinating them. They're wasting time in prisons like high schools, and then, like I said, go off to college to drink beer and sexually experiment. By the time they're 22, you think they're ready for anything? No. I said my piece. Thank you.
She said it here. Oh, man, like, I think the thing that I find really, really difficult to digest is the amount of access that we have to other people. That, I think, is why the conversation surrounding, like, whether it's like 18-year-olds versus 22-year-olds, whatever, is because no time in history have men at the age of 30, 40, 50-year-old have had access to 18-year-olds online like this. Like, they've never had this. And this... this also, you know, can even extend, like, from one end of the spectrum of, like, so much access to women and having like a plethora of women to go through versus like children that you have access to online. And so there's like one extreme to the next. So, I mean, nowhere in history did we ever feel that women have become commodified in a way where they are insatiable. Like it's just insatiable. Men want women like nobody's business. And also it's instant gratification to such a degree that it desensitizes people. Mm-hmm. It makes people numb to their own experience. It makes them numb to love, to compassion, to empathy, to all of those things.
Can we just elaborate on that? The reason that that is the case is because instant gratification without the journey of having to work for it and earn it psychologically does that.
Yes.
So just explain to people, like when you have to court a woman and earn the marriage and being able to take her to bed, there isn't that desensitization. There's that there's a lot of value on what you worked for, and you want to preserve it and take care of it and nurture it. But like you said, so I'm just explaining, like psychologically, that's the thing. The instant gratification without the hard work is the worst thing you can do to your brain.
But then that's why you have like incels and simps of the world, and you have men that want to be doted on and want to marry their mothers.
Princess!
And want to be princesses. Like, that's when you have those men, because like, I always find it really funny when, once again, they use the excuse of the patriarchy. It's like, you do realize that the patriarchy is also responsible for creating these men and like, you know, numbing them to the point where they're just growing up to be these like robots in a corporate system, and they have no ability to feel or to engage or to fight or to, what's the word that I'm looking for? To conquer, to have an aim, to have a goal,
the
to have an aspiration.
Doesn't serve the middle class man. It doesn't serve the everyday working
no
collar man.
Except for the oligarchs of the world. It only serves the elitist oligarchs of the world. And we don't even know who those oligarchs are. They're hiding in the shadows.
Oh, we do.
We know one level. We know one tether. But like everything else that follows that, there's always a guy on top of that. So
we know.
Well, so for me, it's just like when I think about it, like, yes, you want a man to like step up to the plate and you want a guy to do like, but you do realize that he's been like societally and socially conditioned to not be that, to be sterile, to be mute, to be like nothing. And you as a woman sit there and you like beat your chest being so angry by this. And it's like, yeah, but you're actively contributing to that as well.
But I will also add, because you and I have spoken about this before and it's very, very important, okay? A man couldn't dare take you out on a date just a couple decades ago without showing up to your doorstep with a bouquet of flowers, saying bonjour, bonsoir to mommy and papi, and saying, oh, she'll be home by 9 or 10. And he had to woo you and dote on you and open the door and take you somewhere nice and comb his hair and wear a 3-piece suit. He had to do the most. Nowadays, he drives by your house and he honks. Ana tahet.
I'm out.
Yalla, come. And then he might just scoot over and open. He might.
Yeah.
Not even move, just like scoot and open the door from the inside. And you get in and going like, where are you taking me tonight? You dumb fuck.
Yeah.
These men get laid. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm trying to say. So who's to blame? Mm-hmm. Who holds the power of her sexuality and her access? And you, the woman, you are the one who can say yes and say no. But these lazy men that you seem to complain about all the time get laid.
But this is what I've always said, and it is a hill that I'm going to die on. Women's power is between her ears and between her legs. And people don't even realize this. And the whole system is designed and constructed so that it suppresses your ability to recognize how much power you have. Men go to war for women. They have fought wars for women. And women sit there and they go like, oh, but he couldn't even like text me back, or he could never. Yeah.
Not just that. On the point that I was just saying, I was discussing it with my dad. And do you know what he also said? Do you know who used to get laid like that left, right, and center back in the day? Mm-hmm. Emperors and kings and conquerors, mm-hmm, and leaders of armies, mm-hmm, which were one in every millions. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And they're the ones who had access to concubines and whatever, because they had the wealth, they had the status, they had the power, but it also came with a lot of risk. They had to hire security guards, mm-hmm, to protect them. They had to sometimes go to war and die for them. So we are treating everyday, yes, but we're treating everyday losers who say, hey, do you want to go split these on this coffee bill? Okay. They get laid. They get access to women. So they're basically living like modern day kings and emperors and rulers of armies, because girls decided it's okay. I can't. I refuse. I'm going to tell you, but it's the patriarchy. Nah.
Oh, Oh, man. And you know what's so crazy is that every single time Layla and I do a podcast, we go back to the same subject because people are still not getting it through their heads.
No, but this is it. We've never discussed it like this, with this depth and this intricate. Like, I like this. This is a well-rounded conversation.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's crazy.
But...
yeah, it leaves me speechless because I don't know where to go from there. Like, we've given you the tools, we've given you the roadmap, we've literally spelt it out, dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
Facts.
And you're sitting there going like, but I don't get it. But daddy, I love him.
Babe, do you know how many girls I've had talk to me where they've dated a guy, or like, I don't even want to call it dating because I don't even know what falls under the umbrella of dating. Texting, seeing each other exclusively, non-exclusively, I don't know. But they were texting and potentially going on dates. I don't know if he actually took them out on proper dates.
But he's a really nice guy.
No, and after a month, she sleeps with him. And what does he do? Bye-bye. He's out, babe. He's like those cartoons where he's like out the door.
Yeah, he got what he wanted.
And she'll be like, so I don't understand. He like texted me every day for a month just to like sleep with me and leave?
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly that.
That is exactly.
And you
did it. And the thing is, if you think you're so special, you're not. 10 other girls probably did exactly what you did.
Yeah.
So these losers that you keep complaining about get laid like kings from the 1800s.
Yes.
With concubines.
Yes.
And who's to blame? I'm so angry. Yeah. Like, I get angry because it's like, if you didn't do that, and if you and those 10 other so special girls didn't do that, he would have to switch it up.
Yeah.
And he would have to show up at your door with a bouquet of flowers and say hi to mommy and poppy. Mm-hmm.
You and I have spoken about this before, and I will say it again.
So angry.
I will say it again. You have to control the access that you give these plebeians.
And access means time, money, energy, physically, spiritually, socially, economically, religiously, all of it.
All of the lees. All of the lees. And it like irks me because I sit there and I'll be speaking to friends who go through these experiences and they'll just be like, yeah, but like he texted me and I texted him and I did this and I did that. And it's like, you literally gave the same energy that he was putting in because he is a hunter. That's what he does for literally a living, biologically, socially, all of the lees.
You tell him.
Yeah. Say it loud, say it proud. Mm. And then you do that. And then you question why he like disappeared and ghosted you.
But let's go through the lees, shall we? Okay. Spiritually. Mm. Okay. Why are you praying to God for him?
Yeah.
Like, why are you thinking about him going, God, please let him be the one when he's just... not the one.
Yeah, and he's one of 10,000.
And you're one of many on his roster.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Financially, are you going splitsies on a bill?
Yeah.
Are you spending money on your hair and makeup to go out on a subpar basic date with him? Mm-hmm. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Your time. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why are you texting him all day?
Yeah.
Why? Why does he have so much access to you?
Yeah. And he doesn't have to work for it because he got it.
Yeah. You gave him all the lees.
Yes.
And when you actually sit down and dissect what he did for you, nothing. And if you go like, no, but he's good. He asked, he said good morning. And he did
really
take me
nice
out on
guy.
A date, like on a Friday night. But
the okay. bare minimum.
The bare minimum. Then okay, then marry that, Habibi.
Yeah.
Then stop complaining.
Yeah. Well, actually,
if you accepted it, stop complaining.
Yeah.
Or actually.
No, I was going to say, but actually maybe don't marry him because he probably won't propose to you. Because he got access to you already. Like, and this goes back to, who was it? Jessie, the singer. She goes like, I heard that men never choose. The only woman that they really love is the one that they lose. And
oh, Jessie Reyes, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And she was just saying that she was like, genuinely speaking, men will never marry the person that they truly love because they have to evolve themselves to such a level and such a degree to meet that person at the top. So they either abandon them and then come back, which is like the true love story that we all see.
Yeah.
Or they just go and find someone just like a little lower than that because they feel they're at a financial level.
But the one who's a little lower than that, she sees him like...
like a,
stars
like
in
a,
her eyes. Literally. She's like doe-eyed and like, he spoke to me?
Yeah.
I mean,
you said it.
But also, I have a question
for
the lady pops.
You can't give
No,
the
I
question.
Do, I do. I have a question for the girls, the girlies and the lady pops.
Mm.
Aren't you tired of being...
tired.
But also being the girl who gets the man ready for his wife are you not exhausted? Mm. Has it not drained the life out of you?
I'll tell you why they like that. Because a woman loves a project. She loves a potential.
Bob the Builder.
She loves Captain Save-A-Ho. She just loves it. She loves sitting there being like, I'm going to fix him.
Literally sleeves up.
I'm going to fix him. I'm going to make him soak because it makes me feel more important. And I will tell you this, and I will say this loud and proud. A woman that loves a fixer-upper is a woman who is so insecure and has very low self-esteem and very low self-worth that she needs something to fuel her own sense of self-assurance so that everything that she puts into that individual, she goes like, okay, if he leaves me, it wasn't me. I wasn't the problem because I gave him everything that he thought that he needed. No, you basically created a prance, like a man who is amazing, who's going to be like, thanks so much for investing so much time in me and spending and taking care of me. I'm going to go marry someone who I think I've already leveled up. You've made me so hypergamous that I can go and marry up and across. You can stay where you are, honey. And that happens all the while. And women, stop feeling that you need to get validation from these men when you cannot find and fix the validation internally first. Otherwise, you will forever be the fixer-upper.
And here's the kicker. It's never going to be about him. It's always going to be about you reaffirming your weaknesses, reaffirming your insecurities, re-emphasizing how much of a victim you are. And this is why I have trust issues. Mm-hmm. Again, common denominator. Say it to the camera.
I can't.
You.
Yeah.
It's you, you girly
pops.
You
are the common denominator. Take accountability for your actions. Do we not know women who are like 45, almost 50, that still speak like they are the Captain Save-A-Hos? And
Before Captain Save-A-Hos, I know women in their 40s who still have sexual relationships. And if they watch this, they're going to know exactly who they are. And yes, I'm calling you out because I think it's ridiculous.
Situationships serves no one but the person that is being elusive and ambiguous and obscure, which is often the man. It serves no one but him.
Yeah. And also, I want women to take so much pride in what I'm about to say. You're not that special. He has 10 other of you on his roster. You're special when he makes you know you are the one and there's no confusion. Mm-hmm. That's when it's like, oh, I am special in this case. But if you're confused and anxious and checking your phone every 2 minutes, you're not that special. There's 10 other of you. Mm-hmm. Like literally, it's like he's just not that into you. You're a Gigi.
Yeah. And I keep...
And it doesn't end with you being the exception. Justin Long's not coming at your door.
That's the thing. It's like, it's so funny how many times I will watch a movie like 10 years ago and I'm like, this is the best thing ever. And then I'll watch it 10 years later. I'm like, this is the worst thing.
Worst thing ever.
He's just not that into you. Has convinced every single woman that she's the exception to the rule.
No, but that's again, if Justin, from the character from the movie, would tell you, he'd be like, Jesus Christ, have you not paid attention? You're not the exception. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, you're not. Mm-hmm. And you're not the exception if you convince yourself you are. His actions and his approach to you shows you are the exception. Mm-hmm. It's not you tell yourself you are and then put a whole scenario up front and wait for him to act on what you envisioned already in your head. Mm-hmm. You don't dictate you're the exception. The man shows you you're the exception.
Okay, and on that point where you were saying that a man shows you, what is it? What is it with the girly pops? I'm going to say it to you, straight to the camera. What is it with all these women saying, but he said he cared about me. But he said he was going to do this. But he said he was going to marry me. Can we stop assigning an action to something that never happened? Did his action align with his words? Did he follow through with what he said? Was there escalation in the relationship? The answers to all of those three statements is often no.
Yeah, because this is always, babe, like I said, when he goes like, oh, but I wanted to take you to Paris, or I was going to do this for you, especially when you start breaking up with him. They claim all these things that they had planned for you. And then you start treating him like, I can't.
You treat him as if he actually took you to Paris.
I refuse this.
I'm sick and tired of
it. Girlies, just get it together.
Get it together, girls. We love you.
And it starts with taking accountability and getting rid of this shame that you messed up. Yes. Acknowledge it and don't feel like it's okay that you messed up. It doesn't mean the end of the world. And it's okay that you were wrong. It doesn't mean you're a horrible person. People keep conflating I was wrong with that means I'm a bad person. Mm-hmm. And they're not a package, baby.
We don't need to self-shame. Mm. We don't need to perpetuate the cycle. We don't need to be everything that people want us to be by putting us into this box. You can be better than that. You can be greater than that. You can evolve. You can grow.
And stop asking men and women to do for you what you wouldn't do for yourself. Mm. So if you don't have the self-respect to walk away from a horrible relationship, don't ask the man to be better, because why would he respect you when you haven't respected yourself?
Absolutely.
If you are in a horrible friendship and that person is taking advantage of you and taking you for granted, don't beg them to see your worth, because you can't ask them for something that you haven't given yourself. Mm-hmm. So it starts first and foremost with you. And taking accountability does not mean you're a bad person, and it doesn't mean you're not worth it. It just is the beginning of the rest of your life, baby boo.
That's
Come
it.
Come on, girly pops. I'm just giving accountability is cool. Get in, loser. We're taking accountability.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping for accountability.
Facts.
And on that note, for the girly pops.
Ooh.
Please, and we said this in the, we said this in the beginning of the podcast. A lot of times you will turn to like someone like Layla or someone like me when we're having conversations about this, because we give the tough love. We call it like it is. We say what we mean and we mean what we say. Surround yourself with friends that are not going to keep pushing you down the road of self-destruction. It's never going to, it's not going to do you any favors. It's only going to do them favors, because 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be convinced that those friends that don't want you to succeed and don't want you to elevate and don't want you to grow are just people that are jealous and envious of you. And they're actually not real friends.
Facts.
They actually really, really want you to stay as small as possible, because it makes them feel more important. And Lord knows how many friends we've had along our ways. Bin them. Get rid of them. Cuts. Deletes. Goodbye.
Facts. Don't be afraid to have a friend who isn't afraid to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Get your, the healthiest thing you can do for yourself is get your feelings hurt.
Get yourself a Layla.
Get yourself a Sarah. Yay! Let's go eat, because I'm so hungry. This was a great episode.
Yeah. You wanna, we started off very really tired, but now we're really hungry. Yeah. Let's dance. I want to dance. Are you going to dance? I want to dance. Okay, you're going to round it out? Yalla.
That's it. Let us know what you guys thought. This was one of my favorite episodes.
Mm.
Like, for real, for real.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's it. The passion. It's come out to play. So you're going to say goodbye?
Girly pups, I swear to God, if I get another question of, but what if, no.
No. No.
Literally, this is our answer. Just imagine us going like, no.
Yeah.
Khalas. All right. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Bye.